When the new school year kicks off in 2012, there will be some interesting changes in how some of our schools are run. As the Federal Schools Minister, Peter Garrett, told us yesterday, the federal government will roll out what it calls the Empowering Local Schools program. It aims to give principals and school boards more power to hire teachers and shape their school. Some states, including the ACT and WA, already have programs which give schools greater autonomy. There is some support for this initiative from teachers and principals, but others question whether it will make any difference to educational outcomes, as Madeleine Jenner reports.
2 years ago, 47 New South Wales schools put their hands up to be part of a new trial. Under the trial, school principals and local communities could have a say on who was hired, who was fired, and how their school budgets were spent. Denniston East Public School in Sydney's northwest signed up. Warren Poole is the school principal.
For example, at year three, we had an awareness that we needed to diversify the class needs there, so we actually employed an additional teacher. We worked with Macquarie University to ensure that all of our kindergarten and year one children went through a speech pathology identification process, which was fantastic. We have over 200 children in kindergarten and in year one combined, and every child's been through that process. We introduced the Boys Mentor Program, and once again to identify those boys who require assistance with their learning, and also to provide that male role model. We have quite a few young teachers, and we introduced the professional learning partner so those people could get involved in their professional learning, but also so they can actually go through the teacher accreditation. And the other, I suppose, initiative we undertook was we actually employed a business manager, which freed myself and my executive up to be able to actually look at, you know, the quality of teaching and learning throughout the school.
And were they all things that realistically you wouldn't have been able to do previously?
Oh, we wouldn't have to do any of those. We actually looked at the things that we weren't doing, what we would like to do. There's been some discussion, I know, through the whole process about additional money. We received no additional money. What we did get was flexibility.
Presumably with no extra money, though, that means cuts in other areas.
No, it didn't mean that. It just meant looking at different ways of restructuring. There was no, as I said, there was no money, no additional money. What it did do for us, though, was to actually say, you know, if a vacancy occurred, we could actually look at the way we actually manage that.
Yesterday on the program, the Federal Education Minister, Peter Garrett, said that giving schools greater autonomy would benefit students.
We know that where principals have got more say over what happens in their schools and school communities have got more say over the schools, that it's better for the students. We've got international and now some local research which points pretty clearly to the fact that kids' education results are associated in terms of improvement with increased autonomy in their schools.
The international data Peter Garrett mentions comes from the OECD, and the national data comes from the New South Wales trial and a program that is already up and running in WA. The OECD data compares countries with autonomy and those without. But every education system is different, and it's not exactly comparing apples with apples. In fact, the OECD report admits that some countries with school boards don't perform well. In summary, it says, quote, "In short, school autonomy in allocating resources tends to be associated with good performance." Angelo Gavrielatis is the federal president of the Australian Education Union.
The government continues to cite overseas evidence, but unfortunately, it doesn't stack up. The other concerns, of course, that we have are more recent. We've now seen, only last week, a report from the Productivity Commission which says that allowing schools greater autonomy has the potential to exacerbate inequalities between schools unless all schools are properly resourced. And similar concerns were expressed in the Auditor General's report in Western Australia, which studied and examined the independent public school program announced by the Western Australian government.
The WA program started in 2009 and it has been very popular. 98 Western Australian schools currently operate under the independent public school scheme. And Warren Poole argues that at his Sydney school, he is seeing results, even at this early stage.
In terms of results, do we see a better attitude amongst our senior boys and the other, bearing in mind their primary school boys? Yes, we do. We've seen a marked improvement in their behaviour, but once again, they're very good students. With our year three, and bearing in mind this project's only 2 years old, we've seen a significant improvement in our NAPNERM results for year three. I fully appreciate that's only new, but the results are the best we've seen in the 7 years I've been principal of this school.
And aside from the argument about whether the program will make a difference, there are also questions about how the program will function. The scheme is likely to be rolled out in a slightly different way in each state and territory. At Denniston East, the principal and school management have taken the lead, but at others, school boards will be set up. Part-time teacher Jennifer Killen says that brings its own problems.
In today's society, not many people parents have time to actually give to oversee the running of schools. I've always worked in disadvantaged schools where parents often don't speak English and often are not highly educated, and although they are really concerned for the best futures for their children, they don't feel competent and often don't feel confident to get involved.
The program does have a lot of support from school principals, both the primary and secondary school principal associations like the idea. But Cherie Vertigan, president of the Secondary Principals Association, says some of the practical elements of the rollout are still unclear.
Well, there are a number of unanswered questions. Probably the first one, which is probably the most obvious, is around how do you support the staffing in difficult schools? You know, how do you ensure that you have high quality teachers and leaders going to regional, rural and remote Australia? But then equally important is, once they've done their time there, how do you guarantee that they can come back into a preferred or metropolitan location? And in all states that's been supported by the bureaucracy or the system, and we're not sure what that will happen once we go over to empowered and local decision making about staffing. You know, overall, you asked me, do people support it? Yes, they do, but there is a need to clarify what it's going to mean and how it will translate on the ground. If the regulations around empowering local schools becomes too complex, then it might defeat the whole purpose of having the initiative.
That's Cherie Vertigan, president of the Australian Secondary Principals Association, ending that report from Madeline Jenner.